We continue on our journey through Exodus today. We'll be looking at the Ten Commandments. And as we do that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your perfect law in which you show us your holiness. And Lord, I pray that in this time that we have, you would be honored. And I pray that all of our hearts and minds would be open to what your word says. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as we see the people of Israel coming out of Egypt, what God is doing is he's calling a people to himself. He's calling his children to himself. And last week we looked at the fact that this is really a treaty, a covenant between God and his people. And as we look at this, I want you to think about something. Think about it also as God calling a family to himself. We know that God is our Father. And he is really teaching them about his family and what is expected in his family, what his family is supposed to look like. And so think about this. Think about this when you brought a child into the world, if you're a parent. You bring that child into the world, and that child learns about life through your family, through husband and wife and brothers and sisters, and how your family interacts. And you start teaching that child things right away. You start teaching that child what they can do, what they can touch, and what they can't touch. You know, don't hit the cat on the head. Pat the cat nicely. Don't touch the stove. And you take them through all these different things. And what's happening is that child is becoming a part of your family. And you do that through modeling. You do that through teaching. You do that through discipline. And that's really what we see the Lord doing in Scripture. And, you know, I was thinking about it in terms of adoption, in the sense that God is adopting the people of Israel and taking them as his own children. And you know, I was thinking about this from my family's perspective. As you might know, we adopted two boys from Haiti when they were teenagers. And they went from orphanage life, 60 kids in an orphanage with about five adults, kind of trying to corral them and taking them to school and doing different things. And then Peter and Matt came to our house, where there's two other kids and two parents, and different language, different culture, and how challenging that was for them, and for parents, too. And it is, and you try to teach them, and you have to teach them just about everything. And I remember we started with some basic rules. We started, and we said at the supper table, we're going to speak English, because they spoke Creole in a little bit of English. But the reason we did that is we wanted them to learn English as quickly as possible so that they could excel here and they could do well here. And then we extended that and we said, okay, when we're in the car, you got to speak English too. And then on the first level of the house, that's where you got to speak English so that they could learn our language. And that was hard. And having them learn to eat our food was hard. To this day, they still will not eat soup. We can't get them to eat soup for some reason. But they had to learn what life in our family was like. The people of Israel are learning what life in God's family was like. They're learning what God is all about. And what is God all about? Well, you know, I think it can be summed up, and I was over Bill and Marsha's this week, a few of us were, and at one point Bill looked at us and he said, love is everything. That's what God is all about, love. And when we think about the commandments, sometimes you hear commandments and you think about rules and you feel the weight of that and you say, oh, rules, commandments. But I want you to think about what the commandments are about. And Jesus was asked a question, what's the greatest commandment? And in Matthew 22, he says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So what Jesus is saying is that the law, all of the Old Testament, hangs on two commandments. Love God with everything in you and love people. Love God and love people. That's what the commandments are about. So it's really about love. And what I'd like to do now is I'd like to read to you the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. It occurred to me today that I don't think I've ever preached on the Ten Commandments. I've not preached through Exodus before. I've taught on it, but we haven't done this in our Sunday morning service. So Exodus chapter 20, starting with verse 1. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant or his ox or his donkey or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. So when we see this, I want to show you something. I want to show you that these Ten Commandments are broken down really into two categories. Loving the Lord and loving your neighbor. The first four are about how we love God. And the last six are about our interaction with other people. And it's really all about love. And I'd like to go through these here today. And as we look at the first one, you shall have no other gods before me. Here's what the people of Israel would have experienced in their day, in their time, and where they lived. People around there worshipped multiple gods. They would sometimes have a personal god, a god for maybe themselves or their family. Then they would have a tribal god, and then they would have a national god, or maybe more than those gods. But what he's saying here is there's no others. There's only this one Lord that you're going to worship. And you're not going to make idols and bow down to those idols and worship them. And that's a very important thing for us to understand as well. Because the world tends to want to worship things and follow after things. And a key point in this too is we should not worship an image. You should not worship an image of Jesus. Even if it's an image of Jesus whom you love, because here's why. Any image, any piece of artwork or statue or anything still will fail to capture the glory of God. It will be a cheap substitute compared to the greatness of God. That's why we do not worship images. But here's the other thing about idols, and we learn about this in the New Testament, is that a lot of things in our life can be idols. You can have money and stuff be your idols. Possessions, your home, a car. You can have things that are just so important to you, clothes, jewelry, whatever you want to put there. You can have other things be idols in your life. Alcohol, drugs can be idols. Pleasure can be idols. Sports can be an idol. You know, I think about that in terms of this society we live in. You obviously have heard of the TV show American Idol. Think about that word, idol. We have these people that we look up to and maybe admire, but we should never get to the point where they actually become idols. And sometimes people in our lives can become idols. Sometimes we can make another person more important than God, a spouse, a child. And not to say that these people shouldn't be important, but we don't want to make them the most important thing in our lives. You know, I was thinking about this at one point. I have a confession I'd like to give to you. And I know everyone really perks up and listens when the pastor says that. I have a confession. A lot of times when there's something going on in a society that's capturing people's attention in their minds, I like to find out what it's all about so that I can speak to it. You remember the Da Vinci Code that came out, that book, 15 years ago or so? Everybody was reading it, and it kind of presented this new way of thinking about God. Well, I like to read those books just to see what everyone else is thinking and where people are being pulled. And then a few years back, the Twilight series of books came out, and werewolves and vampires and things like that. And I have to make a confession there. I couldn't read the books because I can't stand fiction, but that's just me. But I did watch the movie, and I want to tell you I was disturbed by it, and it wasn't so much by the vampires and the werewolves, because I know those aren't real. But here's what disturbed me about kids today watching those movies. In the movie, another person, young people, another person becomes an obsession and becomes so important that you would be willing to lose your soul to get that other person. That is not what God wants. That another person, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife, should not be that important. Especially like in that movie where the other person never smiles and has no personality, which is what I couldn't figure out. Why are you even attracted to someone who never smiles? But in real life, another person should never reach that point of being an idol. And I know that people are important, but God is most important. And he's so important that we should never take his name in vain. We shouldn't misuse his name. What that means is taking up God's name for nothing, for no reason. And if you see there, here, you know when the Lord is capitalized, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that means Yahweh. That is the Hebrew name of God. And what the Jewish people did and the Christians followed suit in our Bibles, and I don't think they should have, is instead of saying Yahweh, they write Lord because they don't want to take his name in vain. But I think you can take God's name, Yahweh, if you're using it in a way that honors him. God revealed his name to us, but we should never take his name in vain. But we also know this. The name Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew, means Yahweh saves. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard the name of Jesus used in a way that was not honoring or was for no reason? If you spend any time in this world outside of the church, you will hear it every single day. That's not right. That name is the name that is above every name, the name that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Names are important in the Bible, and therefore they're important. So God's name is special. God's name is sacred and holy, and we love him by not taking his name in vain. We love him by remembering the Sabbath day. And God, when we think about the Sabbath, sometimes people make it so restrictive that it becomes a burden. But let's remember this. A day off is a blessing. A day off is a wonderful thing that God gives to us. And really what we're doing is we're saying, I'm not going to take this day to work. I'm going to set work aside because God is the most important thing in my life. And I was reading recently, there's something very interesting. When people in America started to go from the east out to the west coast and you had trails and wagon trains, there were some groups that went out and they would take a Sabbath day. They would stop traveling on the Sabbath. There were other groups that just went straight from east to west. They wanted to travel every day. They wanted to get there as quickly as they could. So they worked their horses. They worked their people every day to get to the other coast. The people who took a Sabbath got there faster because it's honoring to God and it's a gift. We need rest. God has given us this gift of rest. So these are ways that we honor God. We love him. We love the Lord. And if we love the Lord, then we love people created in the image of the Lord. And that's every person. And it begins with honor your father and your mother. This is where it starts. God has instituted a human family. And he desires that the human family work together. And one way to do that is to recognize is that these people who brought me into the world, they deserve my honor and respect every day of my life. It doesn't mean as an adult you have to obey your parents, but you must honor and respect them because God gave those people to you as your parents. It is not appropriate or right to ever talk badly about your mom or dad. And it doesn't say honor your father and your mother if they're good people. It says, honor your father and your mother. And that's where that starts. And then we have the you shall nots. And we have that list there of things that, ways that we should love our neighbor. And, you know, I want to give you the inverse of that. So it says you shall not murder. So what's the inverse of that? The inverse is, what shall you do then? You shall support life. You shall help other people live the best life that they can. Think about how Jesus did that. Jesus died so that we could live. Jesus gave us life. He did the opposite of murder. He took his own life. He allowed them to take his life, I should say, so that other people could live. He gave life. We should help other people have life. It's one of the reasons we do the baby bottle drive every year, to help CareNet help babies come into the world. If you haven't picked up your bottle, they're at the back of the church there. They're due back on Father's Day. And we give to this organization that supports life, that starts in the womb and continues. We are supporters of life. So it says you shall not murder, but what shall you do? We shall support life. The next one says you shall not commit adultery. Then what does that mean? What shall you do? You shall love your wife, your husband. You shall care for, you shall build that relationship. It doesn't mean you just don't cheat. It means that you're going to love that person. You're going to care for that person. You're going to build that relationship. And, you know, I was thinking about this also. It also means that as people who are interacting with a lot of other people who are married, we never do anything to pull apart a husband and a wife. We support other marriages around us. And remember that phrase that used to be said in a lot of weddings, not as much anymore. During the wedding, the pastor would say, if anyone has any reason why this couple should not be married, speak now. And everybody looks around, sees what's going to happen. But the second part is actually, the reason for doing that is the second part of it. Or forever hold your peace. The point being this, if you don't say something today, you have no right to ever say anything badly about this couple or do anything that pulls them apart. You will support this marriage. The second part is the key part of that. You're going to support this couple. And so that's what we shall do. Oh, so here it says we shall not steal. What should we do instead? It's the opposite of that. Give, right? Give to people. Steal from yourself and give to other people. I want to read to you a section from Matthew 19. In Matthew 19, a man comes up to Jesus, and it says, just then a man came to Jesus and asked, this is verse 16, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He inquired. Jesus replied, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And it says, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. See, the young man was concentrating on the don'ts. Okay, I'm not doing that, but he wasn't giving. He wasn't doing things out of love for his neighbor. He didn't want to give away all of his stuff. He didn't want to give all that up and follow Jesus. So we see here, it's also about being generous. When it says you shall not steal, you should do the opposite of stealing. We should love each other by giving gifts, by helping one another. And then we have do not bear false witness. Don't lie about your neighbor. Speak the truth. And that's really what we are called to do. Jesus is full of grace and truth, it says in John chapter 1. And that's something we should think about. I always think about this when I'm engaged in a conversation or maybe even a conflict with somebody. I want to be full of grace and truth. I want to treat this person better than they deserve, but I'm going to speak the truth to this person. We are to be people of truth. We should speak the truth about Jesus to everybody around us. And finally, we come to the last one, which says, you shall not covet. And this may seem like, okay, this is just the 10th commandment, so maybe it's not as important. It is as important, because actually, The 10th commandment has to do with your heart, what you desire. Coveting is wanting what someone else has. And it has to do with this desire within you. And it actually can lead to the breaking of the other commandments. If you want what someone else has, if you covet, you might steal. You might even kill. And then you might even lie about it. So you might look at the Sabbath and say, well, these other people get to do all this stuff. Why can't I? We look at these other things. So coveting has to do with your heart. So really what this all comes back to is love. Loving God and loving people. God calls us to do this. And Jesus says in Scripture, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, that if you love one another. That is how we are to be characterized. This is not a list of rules. If you obey these rules, you get to heaven. No. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are saved. It means the Holy Spirit has taken up residence, and you will be prompted to live like this, to live a life of love for the Lord and a life of love for your neighbor. And as I close today, I'd like to ask us to do something, and I'd like to pray. And really, what we need, what our church needs, and what every church needs is love. Is God's love to be at work in us and through us in everything that we do. That's what the Ten Commandments are about. There's about love. God is showing his people, I'm about love. It's as if he is saying that. You should be about love too. Let's pray for love in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you've shown us the greatest love, and that is Jesus dying for us. And Lord, I pray that we would be a people of love. I pray that we would love you with everything in us. And I pray that we would love one another as we love ourselves. And Lord, I pray that you would just fill us with this love. And this would bring glory and honor to you. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.